Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Nokulunga Mabuza with Everything. And a lovely tune taking us to the second hour of the show this afternoon. And thank you, Prue, for coming through. Unfortunately, Mpunza has already left, but we were just running out of time. I love you. Sorry for only responding now. But Prue says, Shalom, Luko, and Maruti, what a word you're speaking to me. And I feel encouraged. May the Lord change our perspective. Truly, that is our collective prayer, Prue, that the Lord may indeed change our perspective. Thank you so much. Like I said, it's the second hour. And we're talking all things related to health this afternoon. I am not flying solo for this chat. You know why? Because Charlene is feeling better. Or should I say, she's feeling hundreds. She'll tell us which one it is. Charlene, good afternoon and welcome in.
Good afternoon, Luka. Let's not say a hundred. We'll say 80. I think that's good. That's good enough.
You're getting there. I said last week, our health expert is not around this week. Time for her to look out for her health.
I know, that's ironic. But okay, so this week we are definitely back and we're ready to talk all things women's mental health today.
Yeah.
Something we're going to dive into.
Yeah, and it's very relevant, I must say, with the last Sunday having been, Mother's Day.
Yes, and I think it was such an important time to look at just very specific mental health issues and how they play many women, because there's a difference in how mental health affects men versus women.
Sure, and I must say it affects a lot of women. And just before you even get into it, actually, Charlene, I thought about you when last week I saw the topic of what we're talking about, and I think I've been having personal conversations with myself from time to time because I'm now single-handedly taking care of the girls, and I no longer have a house executive. My husband's been gone for quite a while, and every now and again, I'll give myself a nudge and say, listen, if a superwoman doesn't look like me, then they don't exist, guys. Because, look, I've been championing this thing so well. But I thought about you, and it was a totally different subject. If you remember when we were talking about one of your pet peeves, where the most common staff sit in the desk and, you know, they try to... And from that conversation, I had a conversation with myself to say, Maybe I actually don't even like this title. Maybe I'm feeling the pressure. I don't even like this title of superwoman because I'm going to tell you why. It is often used to depict a picture of women that don't rest. A picture of women that must run around, be the domestic, be the health expert, be the mom, be the pastor, be the everything, be the medic. And it for me, it doesn't make sense because that picture of a woman is an overworked, overexhausted woman. And that's me right now. So I'm nudging myself, superwoman, but deep down I know, would say, no, it shouldn't be a picture of a perfect woman.
This topic, I think you're so on the money and so on the button with it, because it's everything that you've just said. I promise you, it resonates with so many women, whether they're mothers or they're not.
Yeah.
And that whole thing that you said about being superwoman, and you've kind of jumped far ahead into our topic today.
We're
going to speak about that, about, you know, I was thinking about it, and it's like, there's no one gives you a prize for being a Wonder Woman or a Superwoman. There's no trophy.
Exactly.
So where does this crazy pressure and demands come from? And we're going to get into all of that, but it's so prescient that you've already kind of seen that link.
Yeah.
And I think, just for you personally, that's an important distinction to make.
Sure.
I know it's probably what you've just said. I know it probably resonates with every woman who's listening.
Exactly. Yet at the same time, if you think about it, Charlene, just before we get into our chat, when you look at a super dad or a champion dad, he does the bare minimum. And when I say the bare minimum, I'm not saying he's not doing anything. Him showing up for sports that one day, or him, it's
a big deal.
It's
right?
a big deal,
it's
exactly.
Such a huge deal.
And I'm not gonna lie, we appreciate it. I know there's that thing of we shouldn't celebrate men because we can't, celebrate a fish for swimming, but we end up doing that because most fish just refuse to swim.
Okay, just as a side note, can I tell you how much I love that saying? I say that to my mom. I've said that to her quite a few times, and I'm sure she's listening today. I said, you cannot give a fish praise for swimming because that's what it's meant to do.
Yes.
And that's so applicable in so many situations for so many things.
True.
But, I think today's topic, especially we're talking about the distinction between how mental health problems affect men versus women, because to a large extent, and it is a bit of a generalization, but that's okay. To a large extent, you know, men are praised for doing the bare minimum, while women are sort of, you know, it's expected that you're doing the most, and you're doing the most 7 days a week. And where does that pressure come from? Where does that conditioning come from? So I think it's really important also that we kind of touching on this subject, just, you know, following on from Mother's Day, because it's definitely a time to celebrate.
Exactly.
But it also, something like Mother's Day, it really affects different women in different ways.
Yeah.
So, not every woman is a mother. Not every woman is going through the easiest pregnancy right now, feeling like the best mom right now. You've just spoken about that, you know, how overwhelming it is. Mother's Day, it's great, but it's an occasion that can just really bring on very complicated feelings for different women.
Sure, I must say. So what is important to focus on, women's mental health around this time where we are specifically observing the importance of women?
Yeah. So I think we definitely need to just take it like one step back and say, it's kind of like this universal term, okay, Mother's Day, we've just celebrated it, it was great. It's kind of like, to me, it's a little limiting, though, because it's kind of like an awareness day.
True.
But it comes around once a year. So what are we saying? We only need to recognize women or mothers on this one time.
Yeah.
I know there's Women's Day in August.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful occasion, yes. But it can be so emotionally complex and fraught and bring up so many different feelings in different women, because if you think about it, many women are juggling the pressures of motherhood, plus having a job, plus maybe a relationship. Maybe they're a single parent. Maybe there are new mothers who are really struggling with this newborn phase. You know, there might be moms and women who've experienced loss. Or they're struggling with infertility. So when you look at something like, you know, Mother's Day coming on top of that, this can be something, it can be a little bit of a ticking time bomb.
True.
And it brings up complicated feelings in some women. Some women will just take it at face value.
Sure.
And we still then, Luca, we still have to still hone in on the very real differences in exactly what we said, how mental health problems affect men versus women.
Sure.
Now, this is really, you know, just an unfortunate thing, but women are nearly twice as likely as men to suffer from anxiety and depression. So why? Why is that? So it's important to acknowledge that when it comes to exploring the reasons for that, we need to look at the full picture. We need to look at different solutions. How anxiety is treated in a woman is probably going to be different, to treatment for a man, for instance.
Sure. Maybe Charlene, you can do for us is tell us, do women experience different mental health issues to men?
Yes, so definitely. And I think this is going to be, you know, it's going to be specific and unique to different women will experience it differently. But, and let's just say at the outset, this is not a competition. We're not trying to say women have it worse than men, or women, you know, are super special snowflakes or anything like that. But women really navigate this very unique landscape, okay? We've got biological factors to deal with. We've got expectations from society. We've got cultural pressures. We've got Having been conditioned and raised in a very specific way. And you take all of these factors and they really can shape a woman's inner world in very profound ways.
Yeah.
So you can't get away from it. You have to take a gender-sensitive approach to mental health.
Mm.
Now, let's go back to that point, okay, about the depression and anxiety. So why do depression and anxiety affect women more often than men? If we look at it purely from a biological perspective, there's hormonal shifts that women have to deal with right from puberty to pregnancy and then the transition into menopause. Now,
literally into our 50s and close to 60s.
And you look at that, those are not insignificant moments in a woman's roadmap of her life. You know, puberty, pregnancy, all these hormones at play, then you're going into menopause, that plays such a huge role in a person's physical health, let alone mental health.
Yep, yep.
Okay? Then we have to look at conditions that affect women almost exclusively, like postpartum depression, okay? There's even really severe premenstrual syndrome, which can feel just as overwhelming as any mood disorder.
Mm.
And here's the frustrating thing about it, is that these struggles, they're just so often dismissed as, oh, it's just hormones, or it's just a woman's issue, or it's just that time of the month.
Exactly. I mean, as if it's something to just insult and really and dismiss us like that.
And imagine that woman is dealing with these debilitating cramps and physical health symptoms every week or once a week, you know, every month. And how can this not affect your long-term mental health?
Exactly.
You can feel it taking hold of you, okay?
Sure.
We still have to think about issues like eating disorders, okay, which predominantly affect women, okay? We've spoken about weight issues quite a few times on these segments. Now we've spoken about the beauty ideals that we see on social media and just society in general, okay? If you think of how women are conditioned from an early age, like we're really conditioned to see our worth literally in terms of our weight. So that can lead to all these eating disorders. There's more, and not in a good way, because women are also facing higher rates of sexual abuse, domestic violence. And, you know, all of this leads to these spirals of trauma that can just go on and on for years. So bringing it back to the question of why are women more anxious, more depressed, more traumatized? Well, here's a whole basket of issues that we're dealing with, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
And sadly, issues that don't just go away just like that. It's not a get over it situation. These are things we can't just wish away or think away.
I mean, you are absolutely right about that. Because if you think about it, let's take an eating disorder as an example, right? That doesn't just come on generally, you know, for a short little phase in your life. It's generally something that, you know, it starts off quite young. To really get to the root of that problem, you've got to go back years and undo all of that trauma and issues and preconceived notions and family pressures and societal pressures that kind of made you turn to that as a solution to find your self-esteem and to find your value. And sometimes, I mean, if you think about it, that's work, okay? That is work to go and have to undo all of that. And many, many women are just, it's just another thing to put on your plate and to say, this is just another thing that I've got to deal with. Bringing it back to, we're not Superwoman, we're not Wonder Woman, but this is the load that so many women are carrying. And this is how our mental health experiences are just so different to what men are going through.
That's so true, Charlene. Tell me also, what are some silent signs that a woman might be struggling mentally or emotionally?
So I'm glad we're talking about silent signs, because I think one of the things we think about when it comes to mental health issues is, well, if something's wrong, I'll notice it, whether it's in myself or my friend, my sister, my cousin, my best friend, whatever it is. But there's this fascinating thing called, you know, rumination, and there's these studies and research into this, that when stress takes over, many women specifically, they instinctively turn inward. So they kind of just internalize their emotions and their feelings, okay? Again, this is a bit of a generalization. There's many women who approach it differently, but women will kind of internalize that and they'll tend to go over something constantly in their mind until it starts to really affect them. So when you think about a woman friend or a family member or a colleague who you kind of suspect is or was going through something difficult.
Okay.
Now, maybe she didn't come straight out and say what it was, and many women don't. If you look for something like the subtle signs, it could be things like she used to be very calm and even-tempered, but suddenly she'd have like a big reaction to a small annoyance. There's withdrawal where this person is usually they're very good about communication, but suddenly they're just ignoring text messages, they're canceling plans, and they're kind of withdrawing. And a lot of these are just normal life phases. Okay, we go through things, we're tired, work is hectic or whatever. But these are where you've got to look for those subtle signs that become patterns. It could be things like you've got a friend who's a mom and suddenly you notice she's always kind of putting herself down and saying things like, you know, I'm not a good mom or I can't do anything right. Sure. And she kind of had, you know, a decent amount of confidence before, but now she said it once and she said it twice and it's suddenly becoming kind of this repetitive thing. So these are the silent things you've got to watch out for, because it's not always going to be obvious, like someone coming straight out and saying, look, I'm struggling, can we talk? In ourselves as well, it's so, so important to look and to be alert to physical symptoms that can manifest, because you might think to yourself, I'm okay, I'm not feeling sad, I'm not really down or anything, but suddenly you're feeling tired all the time, you're getting tension headaches, your elbow is suddenly like there's this weird ache and pain that just came out of nowhere.
These are
just the subtle signs that your body and your mind are not doing so great now, and it's just manifesting in your body instead of mentally. So it's so important to just to not always look for the obvious things, because this is the women's experiences typically, is that we tend to internalize it.
Wow. Charlene, let's just grab a glass of water, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
No problem.
Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564. Or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
That's truly all I've ever wanted, God's favor above that of man, which, you know, really changes with how they feel, with what I've done to them. I think God's favor truly is the ultimate favor that you and I need in our lives. Donald Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers with God's favor.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM. Sounds of Life.
Giving you a chance to decide for yourself, Oguti, whose favor do I prefer? And welcome back to Charlene, because we're talking all things women, mental health today. Welcome back, Charlene.
Hey, Luca, I'm still here.
So we're talking about women's mental health. And earlier on when we went on our break, Charlene was just pointing out some of the signs, you know, for us to see that women might be struggling mentally or even emotionally. Now, here's my next question to you, Charlene. Why do so many women find it hard to ask for help? Because I know the common, and it's not a myth, it's true, the common understanding is that it's men that don't find it easy to speak out. But the truth is, I'm also one of those women who took forever to ask for help.
I would like to see some official statistics on this, you know, some global thing, because I truly believe it's women. It's women who find it so difficult to just speak up and say, I need help, I'm not doing well. And, you know, we mentioned it on a previous segment, and, well, I mentioned it as one of my pet peeves, and, you know, about the notion of the strong woman, and it really is something that hurts me. So just, not because strength is a bad thing, okay, but because of how often it's expected, because it's just taken as a given. So firstly, I often find that when people compliment strength as this amazing characteristic in a woman, it's kind of sometimes rooted in something else. Like people see it as a way to take advantage of you or hand off of all the emotional labor to you or just generally treat you poorly. And they get to brush off their guilt with, oh, well, she's strong. She can handle it. I feel there's this undercurrent at first, you know, like as this compliment. You know, we were talking about societal expectations, and society tends to celebrate women who just keep going no matter what. They carry everyone else's burdens. They're always smiling. They never complain. And somewhere along the way, that gets internalized as, okay, I have to do this alone. Like, I shouldn't need help. Mm-hmm. Because if I ask for help, then it means that I'm weak.
Yeah.
And this weight of perfection is so unhealthy because, you know, when you start to define strength as, I've got to shoulder everything else alone, then, of course, asking for help feels like failure, right?
Exactly.
So, unfortunately, we just start to internalize this message that, okay, if I'm vulnerable, that means that I'm weak. Mm. If I just keep going, no matter how exhausted I am, that's just the only way to do it.
Then I look like a champion.
I look like a champion. I'm now the Wonder Woman, right? You know, yeah. I'm going to get some trophy down the line. There is no trophy, girl. Please don't. So we also need to touch on something that I learned about recently, and this is called caretaker's guilt. And I'm sure this is something that's relatable to women across various cultures. Okay, so we grow up learning that our value lies in taking care of other people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's relatable at all to you. It's something that you've also kind of identified.
Besides learning of it, I think I've always just made it part of who I am, as heavy as it gets at times.
Yes. So then when you're the one in need, then you kind of get worried about abandoning those that you care for. Like, if I have to say no, if I slow down, who will keep things running? You know, there's that, there's some saying about, you know, the first time you say no, it's like you've never said yes the other 99 times.
You know?
Because, so now, right, this goes back to, you know, how society expects women to be strong and just keep going. So it becomes like this relentless refrain that just silences our own needs. And there's such a heavy cost to it because there's no glory in suffering in silence. It just leads to, you're the one who's going to be isolated. You're the one who's going to be feeling scared and burdened. And the scary thing is that it's almost a double burden because now you're dealing with the original struggle, okay? Now you've got that struggle plus the heaviness of keeping it all to yourself to be strong and to keep things running, to keep up the facade. So how is this sustainable at all?
It's not,
right? So we've got to reframe strength where it means that it's part of building resilience, but we are not competing in the strength Olympics, okay? We have to give up this competition to see how much you can take on. And then the more you take on, that's all it becomes about. It's that story about the frog in the boiling water, you know? So you slowly turn up the heat and it'll keep staying there until it boils because it started to normalize that boiling water. And that's unfortunately how a lot of women cope. You know, we acclimate to the constant stress. We say, it's okay, we'll just keep working and working and working and adding more and more to our plate. And then we don't realize actually we've been in boiling water this whole time.
Ish. Oh, man, that is so true, actually. So let's talk about this, Charlene. What if a woman doesn't feel joy? Let's say even next year on Mother's Day. Is that okay to say out loud?
I think people don't want you to say the quiet part out loud, you know. It becomes threatening. It becomes weird. Why are you saying that? Why are you feeling like that?
Why are you even spoiling the day?
Why are you spoiling it? And, you know, that's not what it means to be a woman. But no, you know, we are all dealing with our own identities and definitions of being a woman.
Mm.
You know, your feelings are valid. You don't have to love Mother's Day. You don't have to appreciate its significance. You may not even like children, for instance. And it's okay to feel like that. We shouldn't be made to feel guilty for not making certain choices.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, like, women, we're our own worst enemies because we're the ones who kind of put this pressure on ourselves and we keep these unhealthy expectations going, you know. And you just need to, you need to find your own source of truth, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that means saying, you know what, Mother's Day is fine or Women's Day is fine, but it doesn't really mean anything to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay because it's such a personal thing. Everyone, you know, we say this all the time, everyone's on their own journey.
Yeah.
And
true.
Whatever works for you. So if you don't feel completely aligned with every single woman in the world who's excited about Mother's Day, that's okay.
Yeah.
Your well-being is your well-being.
Charlene, you know, I've been laughing since you said you might not even like children. Nah, man, Charlene, nah. Maybe let's say you might not even want to have children because I'm like,
you might not even want to have kids.
Because I'm sitting here, I'm like, what did our poor children do to you?
I know. No, look, I mean, we have to speak up. We have to speak up for the 0.001% who do feel that way. And that's okay. That's okay. Everyone's on their own journey in life.
You know, at my sister's workplace on Friday, they were getting Mother's Day gifts, flowers, and I was busy on the phone with her. And she says, she takes this flower and she says, oh, thank you. What did we do? I think she had forgotten for a second that it was Mother's Day. And then she says, oh, is this for Mother's Day? And they're like, yeah. And they keep giving everyone. And she says, she turns and she asks a colleague of hers, why didn't so-and-so get a flower? Is it because she doesn't have kids? Because it's, you know, it's Mother's Day. Yeah. And I said to my sister, that's so mean. So why aren't they? And she says they really didn't give her the flower. They skipped her. I said, but no, that's wrong. Why? She says, no, she doesn't want to have children. I was like, oh, well, it's her choice then. I guess she'll get a gift on Women's Day, not Mother's Day, my guess.
Hopefully, Women's Day at least.
As long as it's a personal choice, that's okay. Otherwise, you don't want a situation where, like you were saying in the beginning, you are having those issues and you are now being overlooked. Just, no, she doesn't want children. I was like, okay, at least. Hopefully she doesn't feel excluded then.
Exactly. Yes. As long as it's not deliberate exclusion and, you know, it comes back to your own personal choices.
Yeah.
And you're the only person, I think, just generally with anything in life, you're the only person who's really going to understand your feelings, your emotions, your needs, what you're going through. And it all comes back down to what works for your well-being is what works.
And you're absolutely correct to say, you know, at the end of the day, we get to make those choices. It's our choices and they should be respected, you know. But like you're saying, as long as we're not put out in the cold and excluded, which then drives us to, you know, having these emotional and mental issues. So nobody should make you feel as though you've made the wrong decision for not wanting to have children.
Unfortunately, I think it's such a nice ideal, but I don't know, maybe this is just being a little cynical. I wonder if we'll ever get to a place in society where things are as idealized as that.
Yeah.
And there is kind of this live and let live attitude and, you know, but I don't know. I think maybe humans, we just all inherently believe we're right about everything, and people should do things.
That's true.
You know, how we feel is the right way. How we think is the right way.
Mm.
And it's hard to reconcile that with the other 8 billion people, the 8 billion people in the world.
Trust me, it is. Trust me. Charlene, before we do our goodbyes, my lovey, you know, how can partners, friends and communities better support women's mental health?
I really, really hope that we can start just as women, just by giving ourselves that break. Just, you know, going back to what you said in the beginning about, on a bigger scale, let's just stop applauding the burnout and the overwork and taking on everyone else's problems and calling it strength. Because like we said, there's no prize for being this, you know, amazing Wonder Woman.
Yep.
That real strength is knowing when you need to rest, when you need to set boundaries, how to prioritize your own well-being.
Exactly.
And I also hope, like, you know, I think that once women on our own, we can come to these sort of perspectives, then this feeds back into society and family and friends and communities, because then you teach people, right, how you want to be received, how you want to be treated.
Yep.
And I think also women, again, I'm just speaking generally, you can use your own circle of women as a test. If you're friend is struggling, you know, try and reach out with something concrete, because I know most women, if someone says, hey, let me know if you need help, we're not going to really take that person up on that offer. Because it goes back to all those preconceived notions and conditioning that we've covered, where we don't want to impose on people. We've been raised a certain way. But if I say to you, hey, Luca, I know you're having a very hectic month, I'm taking you out for lunch this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wouldn't that be amazing? And if I'm in Joburg, I'd come and take you. But it's something concrete, and it's something that's a tangible piece of support. And I think that's what we all want. Because it's just so easy to say, well, let me know if you need help. But we don't want to feel like we're a burden on someone else.
Yeah.
We don't want to feel like, well, I really shouldn't be complaining, and actually, that person's going through so much more than me. So, you know, I don't want to burden them. Or you feel like you're going to be judged, because that's another thing that's important. You're scared to open up about what you're really feeling. Mm-hmm. Some people, as much as we talk about anxiety and depression, you know, lots of people don't really, they're like, what do you have to be sad about? Why are you anxious? There's nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe said in a well-intentioned way, but it can also be a little hurtful. Then you don't want to open up.
Exactly.
So there's all these kind of intangible things to navigate. But I think what we can try and remember for ourselves and for others is that just validation of your feelings or your friend's feelings, your cousin, your mom, whoever the woman in your life is that, you know, you're trying to be there for, that validation sometimes just helps more than any advice or solution. And, you know, remember our segment on toxic positivity? We've said, you know, it's okay for things to be uncomfortable sometimes. We don't have to erase the bad days. We don't have to fix things immediately. You know, we can just take the time and just reframe the current challenges and complications and say, look, I'm here. I'm here to support. I'm here to support myself. I'm here to support you, whatever the need is.
Yeah, no, that's true. Charlene, how do you reach out to your team?
Well, we are at wellbeingsafrica.com. So I hope, we've done a little to speak to women's mental health issues and just how to recognize those quiet warning signs. And, you know, I just want to stress, as always, it's never too early or too late for that matter, to just take better care of your health and well-being. And as we love to say, everyone deserves to be well. So hopefully we'll take that to heart.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, Charlene. Until next week, have a good one then.
Thank you so much, Luca. Take care. Bye.
Zibanda kanye nathi ekuguquleni impilo zabantu ilizwe liphela apha ku Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.